Content discussed on this show is not necessarily the opinion of the cast of Spiritually Raw, and topics quite often are for mature audiences only. So, if you happen to have your 13-year-old listening in...
Hello, everybody, and thank you very much. Right back at you. Welcome to Spiritually Raw. Thank you for tuning in on a wonderful day with us today. You can listen to us here on BBS Radio every Monday and Wednesday at 2 p.m. Eastern. Also, check us out on Anchor FM and on iTunes. I'd like to, again, thank you all for tuning in. Thank Juan, our super producer, JC, as I just heard him refer to himself as. So, you know, JC, brother. And interpret that however you want, right? So if you are an expert or authority or have an amazing personal story that revolves around the supernatural, we definitely want to know about it. All you have to do is go to spirituallyraw.com and submit your information, and we will get back to you for sure.
And make sure to follow us on Facebook at Spiritually Raw, and also join our Facebook group, Secrets to Radio Riches. You're only one show away.
That's right. You're only one show away. You know, so I read the notes here. I'm really intrigued about these guests today. So
it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, let's get them going, right?
Derek Newman Jr., he's top-rated international psychic medium. He's also one of America's top spiritual coaches and healers. He receives information by sensing, feeling, smelling, seeing, and even tasting what his spirit is attempting to convey. First up, though, we have Christine Matheson. She's an international best-selling author, keynote speaker, and retreat and seminar facilitator. Easter 2005, she was diagnosed with stage 4 metastasized melanoma and was given a prognosis of 6 months to live. However, it took Christine only 5 months to cure herself of cancer. Christine enthusiastically volunteers her time and experiences in supporting many discouraged cancer sufferers worldwide to take control of their own health and triumph without the use of drugs or radiation. Her passion is to share her strategies to liberate 1 million people of cancer globally by 2020. She's the best-selling author of From Cancer to Wellness, The Forgotten Secrets, a step-by-step handbook for beating cancer, and also Holistic Wellness Recipe Book. And she's the co-author of Olivia Newton-John's Live Wise Cookbook.
Man, you do some great introductions, don't you?
I try.
You do. Okay, welcome, Christine, to the show. How are you?
Oh, I'm very well, thank you. Yes. But I'm really pleased to be here.
No, well, we're pleased to have you.
She's from Down Under, Jay.
She really is. So what about Down Under?
It's like tomorrow right now.
It's tomorrow. Okay. So, yeah,
I've been saying
it. It's 8:20 here in Australia.
Oh, man. So how are things right now with all the fires and everything? Is that affecting you?
No. We're very lucky where we are. We haven't been affected at all, and yet we're back onto a whole heap of bushland and rivers and all sorts of things. So we've been very blessed not to be affected. But I do feel so sad for those around Australia. They are coming down a bit, but there's still places where it's, you know, ravaging the land, and it's quite an extraordinary situation here.
Well, our hearts and prayers are out with all of everyone there.
For sure. You know, and just wherever you can, everybody, just make sure you get there, donate, send
and
out.
Help as much as possible.
So Easter 2005, Christine, you were diagnosed with stage 4 melanoma. How did you even handle this diagnosis?
Oh, well, at first I think I was in total denial. You know, I went into looking after my family's reactions to begin with. They all sort of fell apart. My husband had an anxiety attack in the middle of the night on the first night. And, you know, it took me about 2 weeks for it to actually act emotionally. And my husband and I are both competition ballroom dancers, or we were back then. And I went on a dance floor at a competition, and I froze, and I couldn't cope with the sounds of everybody around me. So we went home, and then I decided to take myself to a Tibetan sanctuary, and I was booked in there for 7 days. And what I did is I meditated, and I worked with my angels, and I worked with God, and I worked within myself and did affirmations, etc., to get rid of the subliminal message that I'd been told I was going to die. So instead of being 7 days there, it only took me 4. So I then went home, and I intuitively put my program together. I mean, I was lucky that I'd been sort of very interested in, you know, good food and raw food, etc. And my husband, who I'd met in 1985, 5 years before, he actually had got himself over cancer doing it naturally. So I guess I had that as a kind of a stepping stone to my own survival. But I wasn't interested anyway. I'd never be interested in putting chemicals on my body that would only affect my immune system. So that's basically where I started from. And then within 5 months, I was well. And something interesting I'd like to share with your listeners. At the same time as my getting over my cancer, we were fighting a legal battle with people that owed us $7 million, and we actually didn't win the fight. We won in court, but we didn't win the money. So we lost everything. So I had to overcome that at the same time. I know that's part of what led me up to having the cancer, but I had to overcome that situation to get well. So even though we're losing everything, our business, my husband had been a builder here on the Gold Coast in Queensland for 44 years, third generation builder, and I worked side by side with him, and we built up a multi-million dollar business. And to lose everything, including our cars — I don't know what it's like in America, but over in Australia we lease our cars here, and if you're not going to pay the leasing, you get it taken away. So we didn't even have cars.
So, same way in America.
And we lost our home and et cetera. So pardon, yeah, same way over there, yeah. So, you know, the bottom line was I guess you had – my health was more important than all of that. So, you know.
So that's what I was going to ask you. So you're a ballroom dancer.
Sorry.
And I was going to ask you, you're a ballroom dancer. So obviously you were in great physical health prior to this. So do you think that the deep amount of stress, mental stress, is what caused the cancer?
Oh, definitely, definitely. It makes your body — when you're stressed, your body becomes very, very acid. And so even though I was still going through stress of losing things, I actually put my eating plan and my exercise plan and my meditation into action, so that I was dealing with the spiritual side of things all the time. So I had to step away from the material into the more connecting within me and connecting with, you know, what I call my angels. I mean, not everybody has angels, but I do. I've seen them, and I've worked with them, and I continue to do so. Plus my affirmations.
When you were going through this, and you know, it sounds like you treated this as like a business decision, and you said, I'm either going to choose to live this way, or I'm going to choose to really just, you know, fix myself. And you went in that direction. When you did that, what was some of the first things that you did? So when you said, okay, this is it, I'm not going to accept this diagnosis the way it is. Like, what was the first thing you did? The main thing that sticks out that you could share with — and before you tell us that,
somebody's making a lot of ruckus back there.
If you got a lot of knuckus and buckus in the bag, if you can mute yourself, that'd be all right. Because anyway, but what would you say would be the most profound thing that you think that, you know, really shifted your energy and your attitude towards saying, I'm going to heal myself, and this is not what it needs to be for me?
Okay. I think that intuitively I knew that my time wasn't up and I had a bigger purpose. I was told back in the, you know, 80s by a clairvoyant that I had a big purpose and I was going to affect the lives of millions of people around the world. And she said it was from something my husband did. And for many years I kind of thought, well, wonder what that was, because my husband was a builder. And he was also a meditation teacher. He, when I met him, he owned a meditation building. He built a roundhouse up in the mountains here, and he ran meditation groups, and so he was already into all that sort of thing anyway. And I think that my connecting and switching off and saying my affirmations and working with my angels was the biggest thing that I could have done to help me overcome, as I said before, the subliminal message that I was given that I was going to die. And I just felt intuitively that this wasn't going to happen. I mean, you know, I wasn't going to accept it. And I guess mentally, for us, you know, even though I did all the food and things like that, I think there are people out there that can do juicing and they can do this and they can do that, and yet they still pass because they haven't mentally accepted the fact that they can actually stay here and we have a choice. Even though our soul chooses, you know, we, you know, before we come here, we choose our life, but we also have choices within this life. And I chose to stay here. And that's why I wrote my book 5 years later, because nobody had written a step-by-step handbook to beat cancer. Nobody, you know, when I was going through it. And so I did.
So what, you said you were working with your angels. What exactly were they doing to help you get through this? And how did you, how did you actually work with them?
It's through meditation. And I just knew that they were around me. You know, I just sort of felt them around me. I also visually see as well sometimes. Oh. I haven't for a while because I think they come to you when you're in need. Yeah, I had my guardian angel when my daughter died when I was, you know, 23. So I saw the guardian angel there. They just, I could see them visually, but I could also feel them around me.
And then what were you saying to them that was helping you heal yourself from cancer?
Well, I guess I was asking for their assistance to open my mind and my energies up to understand what I needed to do.
Ah, gotcha.
That was the most thing that I think that was, you know, the thing, because when I went home, I just intuitively put a program together. I didn't get help from anybody. It was sort of, you know, I had a doctor that we're still friends today. I actually taught her about food and she taught me about nutritional supplements. But that was where it ended with her, because when I went in to see her and she was trying to put me on different machines and doing all this sort of holistic stuff, I was still in a stress mode and I was walking in my sickness, not my wellness. So it's one of the things I say to people, if you want to overcome your cancer, you actually have to work, or any other chronic illness for that matter, you have to walk in your wellness and you have to bring in everything you can. You have to bring in your spiritual guide. You have to bring in your food and you have to bring in all the things that actually help with nature. You know, we have nature spirits all around, I believe anyway, all around our food and all the food we put into our bodies and, you know, the more organic we eat and all that sort of stuff. So all those sort of things played a big role with me.
Do you think anyone can be cured of cancer, no matter what the diagnosis or prognosis is?
I believe so. I believe anybody can. I've been working with people now for 10 years, and I've seen, look, if people just stick to the to natural nutrition and not put medications and drugs and all that sort of, that's what killed. See, a doctor said to me once, he's a doctor, comes from Mexico, his name's Dr. Carlos Orozco. And Carlos said to me many, many years ago, he said, you know, he said, people do not die of cancer. And he actually did his internship in oncology and decided that he was going to go into holistic healing. And he's a biochemist, biophysicist, he's an naturopath now, because he saw all these people passing away through the chemotherapy and the irradiation. And I know there's going to be people out there that don't like me saying that, but I'm sorry, I've witnessed it myself. You know, I see people who just are so frightened and fearful that they go in and they actually take on all the chemicals. And Carlos said to me, you know, they die of pneumonia or malnutrition and all these things that he listed. And I could understand that, because your immune system gets really shot if you're putting chemicals on your body. But our bodies are amazing machines. We can actually turn our health around by bringing it back to normal by feeding it the right food, feeding it the right thoughts, doing your exercise and gentle exercise and all those things. Because we shouldn't be in a state where all of a sudden we're in pain and agony and all these things and we can't eat anymore, and by the fact that all these chemicals actually sabotage your body.
No question about it. I mean, it's like radical.
Yeah, it is radical, and there's so much to talk about here. I'd like to learn more about Christine's diet and how she actually lives here today, but hold tight. We got to get a word from our sponsor, everybody. We'll be right back. Internationally known eternal life coach, Brian Arnold was a professionally trained card shark who made over $4 million by age 24. He also became suicidal. He was seconds away from pulling the trigger when divine intervention stepped in. He had a powerful spiritual experience and was instantly delivered from his darkness and found his purpose for living. Brian has spent over 45 years helping tens of thousands of people battling depression, addictions, and suicidal thoughts, getting control and their lives back, and turn their mess into a message of hope and inspiration. Brian Arnold created the Miracle Working Card a Day Mental Health Nutrition Strategy. Cleanse your thoughts and renew your mind to a higher, better life. Get a free set of 26 Miracle Working Cards today. Go to www.kingdomproblemsolvers.com. That's kingdomproblemsolvers.com. Warning: radical new information about the death of Jesus, told by a present-day eyewitness. So bizarre, it may be very difficult to find agreement with, but in hopes will stir your curiosity and cause you to embark upon your own journey. My Journey Beyond the Bizarre, by Apollo spacecraft engineer Edward J. Evers, tells what really happened to Jesus in his last hours here on Earth. How? Because Edward J. Evers was there in a past life. Discover statements never spoke before now, plus the workings of your conscious and subconscious minds, past lives, you as a spirit, UFOs, and so much more. Get your copy of My Journey Beyond the Bizarre by Edward J. Evers at www.ejevers.com. Again, that's ejevers.com. Get worldwide exposure. Be heard live on hundreds of the world's largest live broadcast stations. Spiritually Raw, the ass-whipping truth wants you. We expose and explore controversial truths, myths, theories, and dogmas surrounding the spirit world, and no topic is taboo. Do you have an amazing or unusual personal story? Are you an author, expert, or authority in ancient mysteries, conspiracy theories, UFOs, aliens, world religions, or anything revolving around the spirit world? If so, then Spiritually Raw wants you. Be a featured guest, highlight your products and services, and showcase your personality. We book up really fast, so go to spirituallyraw.com and submit your request today. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Spiritually Raw. Thank you very, very much. Very, very, very much. So, Christine, you know, where we left off with you, we were talking about diet and nutrition and this. What's your diet like today? So when you... You know, for your purposes, I mean, what do you eat? Do you eat any meat, any type of fish or anything? Strictly vegan? So how does that work?
Well, I'm mostly vegan, apart from I do eat eggs. Every now and then, which a few vegan people aren't going to like very much, I do have a piece of fish. That's not very often, but I do. And but basically, you know, my diet is 80% raw. If you want to keep living a healthy life, you have to continue. It's not about a diet, really. It's about a lifestyle change. So it needs to be an 80% raw to stay alkaline so you don't get sick. And that's easy to do. People think that that's not easy to do, but it is. And being vegan doesn't necessarily mean you're healthy either. There's a lot of unhealthy, overweight vegans.
That's true.
Out there, yeah, because they cook
everything.
Sure.
That's definitely true.
Yeah, wow.
So are you saying that...
And they don't get their protein balanced.
How do you get your protein balanced?
Eggs.
Oh, from the eggs?
Oh, yeah, not just... Yeah, but eggs particularly, especially when you're going through a healing crisis like cancer, it's very... I was vegan when I got cancer. One of the things I introduced to my body was eggs. But through... That's because it helps detoxify your body and helps with the protein, because protein, as I said, is a healer. But most of the protein comes from nuts and seeds and pulses and all those sorts of things. But you need to have a bit of protein with every meal. Like, for instance, this could be a basic thing for the day. A beautiful fruit salad for breakfast with some cashew cream and maybe some beautiful antioxidants and maca put on top of it, and a bit of coconut oil, and that can be breakfast.
Sounds
so
delicious.
That's a great way to start the day. Everybody needs to start the day. But if you have cancer, one of the things that I found and through my research, and it's not something that is new out there. Everybody's been, there's new books nowadays about the gut programs and all this sort of things. Well, I was working with this when I had cancer, and nobody knew anything. Well, I don't say nobody knew anything about this. People talking about the gut and candida for centuries, you know, for a long, long time. And now it's becoming obvious that having candida through your gut and also your bloodstream is a big reason why people get cancer. So the first thing you need to do is clean up your gut. That actually helps you. And that, for the first 30 days, you need to get rid of the fruit out of your body for 30 days. But it's because it feeds the yeast and the candida in your gut. So once you've done that, you actually then go on to, I put everybody on a juicing program, and then I put them on a lifestyle program. And the lifestyle program is what you need to do for the rest of your life. It's not sort of getting over your cancer and saying, oh, right, now I can go and do all silly things. And that doesn't mean you can't have that occasionally organic glass of wine, perhaps if you go out and just one, though, and with lots of water and lemon juice and all that sort of thing. I don't believe that it has to be so restrictive, because I don't make it that restrictive. I'd be a hypocrite if I said so. But I do most of the time walk my talk, and there are occasionally I will go out and do something that's like have a glass of, you know, organic wine.
What about chocolate cake?
But I don't have any more than one.
Do you ever
chocolate cake? No, I make my own raw cakes. I make my own raw chocolate, and you know, and if I can't make my own, there is a company here in Australia that I actually, you know, if we're out, my husband would say to me, "Oh, gee, I wouldn't mind some chocolate." So we'll go in and get this raw chocolate that's filled with all goodies, nothing nasty. And I know that they're around America too. You know, you just got to be careful that, particularly if you've got cancer, that you watch the type of sugar that you're putting in your body, because there's sugars that can feed cancer, even though people might think that it's healthy. Like, for instance, honey. You know, I did a little thing on Facebook once and gave everybody on a cancer site, and I gave everybody all the sugars they shouldn't have when they got cancer, and I put honey, and I got attacked. I was amazed, and yet it has the same chemical effect on the body than normal sugar.
Like, wow.
Especially if you've got cancer, it feeds the cancer.
What about if you don't have cancer?
You know, but I have lots of desserts.
Does honey have the same effect as sugar if you do not have cancer? We eat honey all the time.
Yeah, well, look, you know, it's funny enough. My father used to eat honey for many years, and he met a cardiologist a Chinese cardiologist that was into natural foods, etc. And he told my father to stop having honey.
Is that right? Why?
So
because of the sugar,
it's very controversial.
How much raw food should we?
But it's still like,
How much raw food should we consume, like on a daily basis, for example?
80% on whatever you eat, it should be 80% on your plate. So,
eighty percent.
You want to have eggs for breakfast?
Yeah. So 80%
on your plate each time.
Okay. So just so I'm clear, did you say 80% of whatever's on your plate should be raw?
That's correct.
Okay, that's a good rule to live by.
So how do you? So literally, are you eating raw eggs?
No, she said except for eggs.
No. No, I don't mean raw eggs. I mean, say, for instance, you boil a couple of eggs, or I'd prefer people poach them. You poach a couple of eggs. So then, we do this on the Candida program. I do, you know, get them to poach a couple of eggs, and they have it with some avocado, and they have it with a salad, and that can be for breakfast, because I take them off fruit, as you know, for the first 30 days. But if you want to have eggs and all that sort of thing, that's fine. And you can have some sprouted breads, or you can make your own raw breads nowadays. I've got recipes in my recipe book that has raw crackers and raw breads and all this sort of thing. But you make sure, you know, it's 80% raw. You can have some almond meal pancakes, which you're getting your protein out of that. And if you're not on the Candida program, you can throw a lot of berries and fruit salad, etc., with it. These are the things that.
What's your thoughts on yogurt?
I'm not getting you.
What are your thoughts on yogurt?
Only coconut yogurt.
Okay.
Coconut yogurt.
I saw that in the grocery store the other day.
Coconut yogurt.
Mm-hmm.
never even seen it. Never even heard about it.
But read the labels. When you're buying it yourself, read the labels. Make sure they haven't put any sugars in it.
So
natural sugars.
So basically, you're looking. So you're looking for. I shouldn't say basically, because obviously went to something extreme. But you're looking for really as much or as little as sugar as possible that's put into anything, and that's the route you go, right?
Yes, but the sugars, like, you know, the processed sugars. I'm not talking about fruit sugar, because people come up to me and say fruit's full of sugar. That's correct, but it's good sugar. You know, for instance, not if they take the out of the fruit, you know, like processed fructose, then it becomes harmful.
What if they dehydrate? What if they dehydrate the fruit? Does that bring out more of that sugar?
No, it's fine to dehydrate. I dehydrate a lot of things like that.
Well, there you go, Jay. Yeah, he's on like a fruit dehydrated.
I'm on a dehydrated fruit kick.
Yeah. So why?
Oh, okay. So why you want a dehydrated fruit kick at the moment? What?
Because it tastes sugary.
Because it's my outlet for swoosh, getting
for sugar.
My sugar fix.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, look, you know, one of the best ones, if you're going to have anything like that, are dates.
We got those.
Dates,
yep.
And you know which ones? There's one is I got the lady.
The apricots.
No.
Oh, no, mangoes.
Mangoes.
No,
lady
mangoes.
Mangoes. Those are the good too.
So
they're good too.
Why do some people who do the natural therapy path they don't survive?
Yes, I've heard of that happen too. I think because they don't, it's like what happened when my first book came out, you know, my first edition. I had a little gut program, because I've done a second edition since then because of this. They would skip over the gut program and just go to the juicing. And then they would do juicing, or they'd do another juicing program, and they wouldn't look after their protein. So they think that they could go on, or they go on a water fast or something crazy like that, and you know that your body needs the nutrition, it needs a balance, and the protein's really, really essential to that healing process. And, you know, so I think this is what happened. You know, I think that they just go and they think that they're going to do a juicing thing, and they're not going to succeed. Some people have. Don't get me wrong. There's been people out there, and they've been very mindset in that way. And we're all a little bit different of how we respond to certain things. But if you're going to do something, the gut is what needs fixing first. Otherwise, you may as well forget the rest.
The gut is what
there you
needs
go. Fix
fixing
the gut.
First.
Fix
right
the
on. So, Christine, before we go to our next guest, can you let everybody know where they can find you, where they can buy your book, where they can get connected with you?
Look, my book is on my website called cancertowellness.com. And if they want to, they can also sign up to the newsletter there, and they can communicate with me. They can write to me through that website.
Okay, everybody, you heard it there from Christine Mattson. Christine, thank you very much for being on the show
does,
with
does
us.
Do you want to say her website address? Christine, you want to give out your website address?
Yes, I do. Cancertowellness.com.
There you go. Cancertowellness.com.
My email address, which is very difficult for people, because the website's also theforgottensecrets.com.
Theforgottensecrets.com.
Yeah. And my email, if they want to just email me direct, is Chrissy, KRISSY, and it's theforgottensecrets.com. And it's the bit that's the is THE, forgottensecrets with an S.com.
All right. Right on. It's great to have you on the show. And
thank you. Yeah, thank you for having me.
Yeah, thank you for your inspiration. Yeah, good stuff here. Raw foods, everybody. And dehydrated fruit looks like it's okay, right?
Two thumbs up on the
dehydrated. Two thumbs up. All right. Yeah, let's talk about our next guest.
I feel better about that now, at least. Derek Newman Jr. He is a top-rated international psychic medium and one of America's top spiritual coaches and healers. He is a clairvoyant medium, spiritual business advisor, personal life spiritual coach, and motivational speaker. In 2013, Derek began using his clairvoyance to help clients after experiences of waves of energies daily that he could no longer ignore. Since then, he has followed his passion to bring clarity and closure to those who seek his counsel.
All right, Derek, welcome to the show.
Thank you. My pleasure.
top-rated international psychic medium. Congratulations.
That's huge.
That's pretty cool stuff, man.
Thank you.
Yeah, definitely. So what did you do prior
to
2013? You're welcome. What did you do prior to 2013? What was your work before?
My work for the last 12 years actually have been in the pharmacy field. And I was working in the pharmacy field up until 2018 and when I resigned from my corporate job. But 2013 is when I went part-time with my psychic business, but I still had my 9-to-5 inside the pharmacy area as well.
All right, right on. Let's talk about these, because a lot of people are saying they're feeling this, but for you, actually, it's taken you as a top-rated psychic and coach. What were these waves of energy, and what do they feel like for you?
Sometimes it could feel like a train hit me, or in most of the time, it could feel like I'm floating on a cloud. You know, it depends on the person's emotion for that day or for that time. But normally when I walk into like a market or when I go into like a restaurant, that's when I would feel it the most because, you know, you're around so many people and especially, yes, the airport as well. But it feels like, but you can have those energies that feel like you just like work like 15 hours, you know, that day, you know, it's so crazy.
That could be mentally and physically exhausting.
Most oh my God, yes.
You don't even know, right? Yeah. Hang tight, everybody. We take a quick break. More with Derek when we come back.
Shira Plotsky is an internationally sought-out psychic reader, psychic medium, and pet communicator. Clients from around the globe describe the experience as insightful, uplifting, extremely powerful, and very accurate. With 25 years' experience in tarot cards and numerology, her insight will reveal many things that will transform your life. Can't visit her in person? No problem. She's available on Skype. Non-believers and skeptics are always welcome. One session with Shira will change your life. Go to shirasplace.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Spiritually Raw. Thank you very, very much. Derek Newman Jr. So, Derek, so when did you, what was the turning point and what made you decide for yourself, okay, look, you know, I can do this. This is my full-time gig now.
2012, actually, I met this client in a psychic development class, and it was pretty much me trying to learn what was going on with me because at the time I was just very clueless and I couldn't understand the energy that I was getting, and I needed someone who had more experience to help me. But in that class, I met someone and we connected, and I gave her some closure about her husband. And from there, you know, when I saw that, you know, when I saw that she, you know, respected my words to her and, you know, the peace that I brought her in that moment, it made me really realize that I could do this because look at the person I just touched, and I can touch so many people's lives if I can just continue with this.
Did you, that actually takes a lot of courage to be able to do that, to leave a corporate job and to transition. Did you have any reservations, or were you like, you know what, this is awesome and I'm just going to give it my all and whatever happens, happens?
Right. At that moment, I was very nervous because I cannot read myself. So I have to take everything by faith. And in that moment, I knew that, okay, I have to go out there because it was now or never. And I knew that this was my calling, but I know also that the universe wasn't going to set me up. So I just, you know, resigned from my job and I just took it from there. And it's been 2 years now and I've been doing very well.
That's incredible.
Good for you. How'd your family feel about all this going from that, you know, corporate professional job? Here's what I do for a living to this, you know, this new side of Derek, or maybe this side that they weren't aware of.
Everyone was hesitant because I was leaving a 401k, insurance, paid time off. You know, I was leaving good benefits, but at the end of the day, I had to make myself happy. It wasn't all about the benefits or, you know, being at the job. It was more about what I needed to do. And I just took a risk. And it became one point, you know, where I had to cut a lot of people off because they were too negative, and I just didn't need that negativity around me in that moment.
That's awesome.
So when you have these experiences, or when, let's say you're going through, you know, call it a reading, or you're just, you know, intuitively connecting with someone, does it come through you, or do you actually work with guides to get this, to get messages to people?
It depends what kind of reading that I'm doing. Now, if I'm doing a mediumship reading where I'm connected to someone's departed loved one, it would be that loved one who's channeling through me. But when it's a reading about love, finances, career, anything of that nature, then it's my spirit guides.
How many spirit guides do you think you have?
I have about 13 right now.
Wow. Did you start out with 13, or has it grown? Are you expanding on your spirit guides? How does that work?
It's so funny because I started off with 2 and now I'm at 13. And these spirits get drawn to me, and I get drawn to these spirits. And I could be like researching something online and it will stand out to me, and or I could dream it. And then I wake up and that spirit name is around me. That spirit is just, everything just coming about with that spirit. And it's been from, you know, since I started from the 2 spirits to 13. And it's really crazy how it works, because I could be in a store, like a botanical or a spiritual store, and all I see is that spirit, you know, stuff, you know, supplies for that spirit. And it's crazy how, you know, they come to me, like how they, how I become attached to them as well. You know?
So does it work kind of like this? Because it just made me think of something. So when you are having another spirit that wants to come into your life, and let's say a song comes on the radio and you hear that same song 10 times in that day, or a name just keeps reappearing out of the blue, do you think that that's their way of trying to connect? Like, hey, I'm right here. If you would just tune in and open your eyes and open your heart, I'm right here standing next to you.
Right. Yes. And what would happen also is that they will make me dream of that spirit. So every night I would dream of that spirit until I take action.
Wow.
Every night you will dream of that spirit. Now, when you say you will dream of that spirit, is that a conscious, like, will you kind of invoke that spirit to come into your dream that night, or does they automatically just kind of show up until you take
action? They automatically just show up, because when I go to sleep, I'm not thinking of that spirit, you know? So, and when I wake up, you know, it would be like, okay, let's say, for instance, if it was an archangel, like Archangel Michael, then I would start seeing things that he loved, you know. I would start seeing, like, the offerings that he loved, and it would be just every day, every minute, and that would be one of my signs as well.
So how's this affecting your dating life?
My dating life is...
Just out of curiosity. Because you're a good-looking guy.
Right. Oh, thank you so much. You know, it's crazy that you asked that question, because, you know, it has affected my life, because a lot of people are liars out there. And when they meet a psychic medium, they run. OK, and they become very intimidated, and it makes it very, very hard to date. So I noticed, now I'm noticing that the only people that I could date are spiritual people, you know, and because if I date anyone normal, you know, they become very intimidated, you know, they are scared, they shut off, you know, they think I'm reading them all the time. But little do they know, when I connect to someone dating wise, like, I cannot read them. I can sense things around them, but I cannot read them, because it feels like I'm reading myself.
Yeah.
That's true. Because you're in a different vibration. Is that, you think that's what it is?
Right. Yes. Yes. And then our energies become intertwined. So I cannot read it. I cannot read them, you know?
So when you go out on a date, do you lead in with, okay, by the way, I'm a psychic medium kind of thing? Or how does that even come up in conversation?
I try to hide it, but nowadays people Google your name and they find you.
Got it.
So I try to live a normal life.
Do you find that when you do go on dates and, that when people they know what you do for a living as a profession, do they automatically start hitting you with, hey, can you tell me about this? Can you tell me about this? Do you get a lot of that?
No, because they don't want me to look into their lives. Aww. Because a lot of people are, you know, fake, I should say.
Yeah.
And they know that they would be exposed at that very moment. So this has been a problem for me. And you know, it has been hard trying to find real people out there because a lot of people are fake. You know, social media has created this illusion that everyone can have the next best thing, and that's not true. So people always try to go out and find different options. And when someone approached me, you know, usually, you know, they are dating like 5-6 other people. So, but they know that I will find out. So they become very intimidated and they just run.
Yeah, you don't need that in your life anyway. It's good. Let him go. No, let him go.
No.
So how do
I? I'm too old for that.
Yeah, you want somebody that's, yeah, I totally get that. Right. It's so hard in today's world. How can you help people attain peace in their lives?
What I do is I give them details that I would not know. And when I give them those details, it reassures them that I am connected to their situation and they start to heal from that. Because if I don't give those details, they would think, oh, he's just like the rest of them, fake scammers. And guess what? They don't heal. They go to bed at night still grieving. They go to bed at night still hurting. So I try to give details. And I, from the first call, I would give those details. And I would never stop doing that, because when I do that, guess what? They become very, their emotions become at ease. And when they're comfortable, it makes everything just go smoother.
What's your take on, you know, just the afterlife? I mean, is there an afterlife? What happens there? Do we merge and do we come back, or what do you see?
Do we go up or do we go down?
Oh, most definitely. We there is an afterlife, because I see it. I feel it. And, you know, you have some spirits who go to the afterlife who come back down to earth. Okay. And they come back down to earth. It can either be in a animal form, or it can be in another person. But they come back depending on how they lived their life when they were in the physical realm. So, but I tell people there is an afterlife. Totally. And it's very, very, and what I have noticed over the years is the afterlife is, some of it can be, is similar to how the person would live in the physical realm as well.
So the person can be a human in one life and then come back as a puppy in the next life?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Totally. Jeez. Totally.
So how do they...
If you come back as like a dog or a cockroach, is that because you...
Were a dog or a cockroach.
Right. In your current life? Is that in your human life? Yeah,
because you were a dog or a cockroach?
No. Now, it depends. Now, in that moment, they don't know, you know, who they will become. You know, they just, it's in that moment that they get selected to go, okay, you have to do this, you have to do this, you have to do that. But they wouldn't know until that very moment. So it's what's available at that moment. That's, you know, that's the kind of stuff that I have noticed.
So just to make sure I understood you correctly there. So when people are ready, let's say, to incarnate, right, mm-hmm. Come back to Earth, and they're saying, okay, so when they're waiting in line to pick up whatever number or whatever aisle they're going to walk down, they at that moment are going to know whether they're going to be, let's say, you know, Britney Spears or a cockroach kind of thing?
Correct. Yes, correct. Correct. And, you know, I have noticed that. I have noticed that in my experience, I have noticed that.
Does the spirit or whoever assigns these roles, do they do it based on
their past lives?
I know you said past life, but okay, for example, would you have had to have done something really bad? Can you have done something really bad and then actually have a really great next life? I mean, can that happen? Is it just kind of just the way it's supposed to work?
They would have to pay a price. So they would have to pay a karmic price. So usually if they murdered someone, or if they did this, or let's say, for instance, like they treated people bad on Earth and they took advantage of these people all the time, then they would have to come back and be a helper guide. Okay. And so with that, you know, being said, you know, it depends on the kind of situation they were living while they were alive.
Tell me about, you're in deep thought, aren't you?
I'm just thinking, like, you know, what has to happen, you know, like Elvis, for example, right?
Right.
Like, what did Elvis do in his past life that made him and allowed him to come back as Elvis?
But then he died at
such a young age.
Young age,
right,
too,
that's what
right.
I was just thinking.
Yeah.
So was that a price that he had to pay?
Like,
Right, because that means that when he came back in the present life, his lesson was already done. His lessons, you know, were short. So he served his lesson, and now he has to go back.
That makes sense.
Yep.
Hang on, Derek. We got to take a quick break again. We'll be right back. More from you, my brother, okay?
Perfect.
Get excellent insight and spiritually motivating teachers with Frank DeVersa, the number one international best-selling author, Spiritually Raw in the 21st Century. Frank DeVersa was an agnostic for 20 years and has been on a spiritual journey ever since incurring a serious illness in 1997. The illness inspired him to renew his faith in God and view spirituality and life in a more enlightened way. Spirituality in the 21st Century will expand one's perspective and horizons to cultivate positive human qualities such as tolerance, generosity, and love. To get your copy of Spirituality in the 21st Century by Frank DeVersa, go to www.frankdeversa.org. That's www.frankdeversa.org.
Make 2020 an incredible year. Live the life you desire in your relationships, your career, your financial freedom, your health. It's all possible. Shari Hobson, an internationally known psychic counselor with over 20 years of experience as a karma and past life analyst, helps you move your dreams into reality. Her energy work in clearing and releasing blocks is being recognized by spiritual leaders and doctors from around the world. Clear your path to your purpose, passion, and potential. Book your session today at sherryhopson.com. That's sherryhopson.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Spiritually Raw. Thank you very, very much. Mr. Derek Newman Jr. is with us today. And so, Derek, can you help us to understand this, since we're on this kick about coming back and leaving for whatever reason? So, you know, Kobe Bryant yesterday, right?
Right.
So he passed with his young daughter. So did they do something together? So whose karma was that? And one more question before you answer that is, what did the wife do, meaning Kobe's wife, do to say, okay, now I just lost my husband and my child? So how does that all intertwine there?
Now, until they transition fully, I wouldn't know that because it's so recent. And I tell people, it takes at least 30 days to really, you know, for that spirit to go into the spiritual realm. Okay. And everyone time frames are different, but I have noticed in my experience and from reading all my clients, it has taken at least 30 days. So I wouldn't know much about that yet until about 30 days.
Do they go through is that the astral plane? Is that that transition? Is that the transition
place?
Is
that purgatory?
Yeah, what's the astral plane? Is that a transition place or is that, like, would you say purgatory?
Yeah. Like that, the 30-day window, let's say, is that, quote, purgatory?
Not necessarily. Now the transition period from my experience has been, that spirit adjusting to the light, you know, walking into the light and walking into the spiritual realm, walking into the afterlife. Especially when the spirit died unexpectedly, that person could be hanging on to the earth, to the physical realm.
Yeah.
Okay. So they don't want to let go and they delay walking into the light. Okay, so for example, like yesterday with Kobe and his daughter, that was very unexpected. He still had a lot of obligations on earth to fulfill, so it's going to take him a little bit to walk into that light. So until he get into that light, that is, you know, I wouldn't be able to know what if he had a karmic lesson or what would happen once he get into that afterlife, but it usually take about 30 days.
From your experience, again, you know, leaving Kobe out, and I respect what you said there, is from your experience, mm-hmm. though, do when people are here and they want to hang on, are they hanging on because are they still feeling human emotion or what's going on through their...
Do they even understand
Yeah,
if
like
they
what's
died?
Going on through their mind at that point, whatever that you call it at that point, or their energy?
Yes, they do understand that they died and they don't want to accept it. Okay. Wow. So they try to hang on to the physical realm as much as possible. So a person like Kobe, who was very dominant and very stubborn, like it's going to be hard for him to walk into that light because he don't want to accept that he, you know, passed away.
That makes sense. So when they're in that, using that same theory that where they don't mentally want to cross over, they're not ready to cross over.
Right.
Does that mean that they're a ghost?
Not necessarily. Not necessarily. It could be a spirit. Now, they would consider themselves as a spirit. Now, what I have learned is that most spirits don't like to be called a ghost because, you know, ghosts have that negative stigma to it as being dark.
Exactly.
So they like to be called spirit. So in that moment, right now, he's not even accepting that he's dead. So he wouldn't be called a spirit, you know, right now. Mm-hmm. And I feel like when the spirit is, you know, not accepting their death, they are walking around on the physical realm. So the wife Vanessa could be hearing him inside the home right now. You know, she would hear footsteps, or she would hear either a drop or a noise or a scream or a shout. It could be anything. But, you know, that person, like Kobe, could be coming back home and walking through the house.
Wow.
Now, he's like, okay, you cannot see me? Mm-hmm. Okay, let me make a noise. Okay? But he doesn't know that she cannot see him.
So that's got to be really frustrating on the other end because it's like you're screaming, but no one can hear you.
Right. So he see her. But she doesn't see him. So right now, she could be getting a lot of activity in her home, especially at night, because at night, most spirits are very active. So if she just listened, especially in like the living room area where they may have sat at a lot, mm-hmm. that could be where the most activity is at. So because he's trying to make noise like, hey, do you guys hear me? Do you guys hear me? But again, you know, he doesn't know that she cannot see him.
So who's coming to help him get through this?
He doesn't know for 30. But
I'm sorry. Not particularly him. Just let's say if it were anybody that went through a trauma and they're in this, you know, what the hey, you know, why can't you hear me? I'm not ready to go yet. Who on the other side or what on the other side comes to that spirit's help and is like, listen, let's have a chat. Here's where you're at. Here's where you need to go.
Right. Correct. It would be either the angels or it would be their ancestors.
Oh, their family ancestors?
Yes. Correct. Yes, it would. But more than likely, it would be their ancestors who would help them cross into that light.
So what do you want to achieve in your life?
What I want to achieve is I want to definitely reach more people. I want to show people that there are people out there with gifts. And, you know, my industry is full of scammers and full of fakes. And I had to, you know, work through all of that. It has been really hard, you know, because I get some callers who are already on defense mode. So not only do I have to give them information, but I have to work through breaking down their defenses. So I would like to, you know, show people that, listen, I have a gift. And this is why when I do my readings, I tell people, do not tell me anything. I tell you everything. You just confirm to me if it's, you know, right or wrong, but do not tell me anything. And from that point, I get, you know, I gain people's confidence. So I definitely want to, you know, heal, you know, more hearts and, you know, get closer to a lot more people. Because on this physical earth, there are a lot of people out there who's hurting, who's grieving, you know, who hasn't got that closure yet. And, you know, that's where, you know, I want to come into the picture.
There you go. Well said. And that's a good arrangement,
very,
Derek.
Very, very well said.
All right, Newman Jr., where can everybody find out about you and how do they connect with you when they want their own personalized reading and session written from you?
Right. Yes, they can visit my website at www.DerekNewmanJr.com. And that's spelled DerekNewmanJr.com.
Right on, everybody, and check them out. Sounds like you'll have a good time, doesn't it? You were definitely digging it.
Well, he's authentic.
You were definitely digging it, weren't you?
Yeah, that's good. Authentic.
I was too. Nice.
Wait, no, you could tell when people have a good, solid heart, and you're a good person.
You
on
definitely
the inside.
Got a good vibe, man. You really do. So good for you. I wish you a lot of luck. Really do. So hey, everybody.
Thank you so much. Yeah, thank you so much.
You're quite welcome. Hope you enjoyed this today, everybody, because we most certainly did today. Yep.
Thank you, everybody, for tuning in, and remember, tune in often. Tell all your friends. And most importantly, may all your dreams come true. Many blessings.
Look up and I see stars out tonight. Look up and I feel things just ain't right. Look up and I hear the people cry. I look up and I wonder why. Don't you want to know what is? Life but a flame, a star burning out.
Secrets to unfold, ours to keep.